Well, hello there. It's me, Harold the Puppet, and you are watching Shooting. I don't curse, so Shooting Poop. Yeah.
Hey, this is Joe Gatto, and you're listening to Shooting Shit.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening, and thank you for joining us for episode number 124 of your favorite podcaster's favorite podcast. That's right, it is Shooting Shit. We are the tripod of doom tonight. Silver Wolf could not make it tonight. He'll be back next week, hopefully. But in the meantime, you've got Joey K, DDJ, and myself.
We're Dude, here. You got us backwards, man. Your point backwards. when you were like, and I'm talking ass backwards, because when you said you got Joey K, you pointed at me. I'm DDJ. And when you pointed at Joey K and said you got DDJ, I don't know what's going on, Jovan.
Yeah, you did that. Are, you pointed and did that, and all of a sudden I just had like a whole nother pant leg sewn onto my pants. It was really weird how that worked.
If they don't know who you are by now, we have problems. But how about we do this? DDJ.
Nope. Wrong.
Happy. Again. No. Bullshit. I see it in my.
You're cube. Pointing at me. You have to point the other way. Thank you.
There you go.
That's DDJ.
That's me.
Oh, shit. My camera's mirrored. So it looks like to me I'm pointing here, but it's fuck. Anyway.
You're dumb as shit.
I'm not doing well today. I hear this, but I see I see this, and all I'm hearing is excuses.
All right, DDJ.
Hey.
Hey, got it. Yay.
Of the day. I had to fix my camera, you assholes.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, do you guys know what the leading cause of dry hands is?
I don't think I want to know.
Yeah, I'm kind of scared to ask what.
Towels.
I hate it here. I fucking... Wow.
That was a good one this week. That earned the crickets this week.
Yeah, you fucking worked hard for that, didn't you?
Hey, I'm living the gimmick.
Oh my god.
That I've been dealing with COVID a little under a week now, and that joke literally was the worst thing that's happened to me all week.
Oh god, fuck yourself.
I feel like I've gotten worse in the 2 minutes it took to get that joke out. I don't know.
It's fucking... Just living the gimmick, man. Just living the gimmick.
Like, yeah, that gimmick's a fucking disease. You're trying to kill Javon down there. Look.
Hell yeah.
Hey, don't make him laugh. Actually, no, you're helping him. You didn't make him laugh at all, so he's not wheezing and hacking up a lung.
Christ, it's a hard thing, gentlemen. You know what? Let's start this week off with our favorite new little segment here, man. Let's go around WrestleTalk.
I already did the dad Twitter. Joke.
Let's go around the WrestleTalk and the WrestleTwitter, see what
we're
can figure
so
out.
So lucky that Sean's not here.
Kind of touch on what IWC is saying. Anyways, Dingus, geez Louise. The Elimination Chamber is at an ungodly time this weekend. It's like 5 a.m. on a Saturday. And yeah, dude, that the whole thing on wrestling Twitter and X has been, number one, are you going to wake up at 5 a.m. to watch a PLE? And number two, who the hell would schedule a PLE at 5 a.m. when the majority of their fan base, it's inconvenient to watch one that fucking early. I don't know. You have to be like a special level mark to watch the show when it airs live.
Says the guy who wakes up to watch fucking Wrestle Kingdom at 3 a.m. Get fucked.
That's different. That is the WrestleMania of New Japan. This is just Elimination Chamber.
So?
It's different. You have one that's going to, you know, tell you how your whole year is going to go. The other one's just a B-rate fucking pay-per-view.
First of all, it is the build to WrestleMania. Second of all, who gives a shit? It's not different. You wake up for fucking other New Japan shit, I'm sure, too. It's not just Wrestle Kingdom. You're the fucking biggest mark, and you're like, it's okay, because over here, it's like we're a growing fan base. It's been growing forever, you know? Fucking, like my hemorrhoid has just been growing forever.
At or like Jovan's fro.
Yeah, growing forever.
That's right.
I mean, look, if you're that much a fan, wake the fuck up, set an alarm. I'm not. I'm going to catch a replay for sure. Replay. I give a fuck. But, you know, do you enjoy it? That crowd's going to be fucking wild, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be rabid.
International crowds are always going to be crazy because they never get the product because of situations like this. You know?
Yeah.
Look. We didn't start the time zones, okay? It just happens that way. Yeah.
So this is on you, farmers. That's what I'm hearing. Fuck you, farmers out there for fucking up. Or no, I'm just joking.
That's daylight savings, you asshole. Not fucking time zones. Oh my god. I fucking hate this show already.
The 7 minutes in, Joey K hates the show.
At least twice already.
My fucking head hurts.
You too? It's okay, buddy.
Oh my god. Like, whatever. It's 5 a.m. It's not like every fucking show is got a start time like that. Just international ones.
Yeah.
Dennis?
Yeah.
Will you wake up at 5 a.m.?
Oh, hell no.
Mark, you will.
I bet you will.
Well, see, what you're failing to mention is that it's 5 o'clock Eastern time, which means 4 o'clock Central time, which is where I'm at.
That hour
and stuff. Now, because it's very rare that I'm most of my days I'm usually up around 6:30 because you know. I got to get up and get ready for work. I got to get my kid up and ready for school. And much like my wife, who is usually out the door at 6 a.m. every morning because she's busy making sure that everybody's kids gets to school safely. Shout out to all the school bus drivers out there and stuff. But I just, when I get a chance to sleep in, I try to take full advantage of it. And this is going to be no exception. So, I mean, I'm going to try and catch it as soon as I wake up, you know, when the replay is made available. I've got a little bit of a busy day planned Saturday. The wife and I are taking our son to go see this Titanic exhibit that's in town because he's really been getting into that. So we're really excited to see him learn more about the Titanic and that. But
when you take him to that Titanic, do you make sure you let him know that Rose could have shared that door with Jack?
Oh, of course. And when we finally sit down and watch the movie with them, I'm going to explain that to him in great detail.
How are you going to explain Kate Winslet getting slammed in the back of that old timey car?
Hey, y'all remember that movie Old School with Vince Vaughn with the kid? Earmuffs?
Yep. Earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
You just got to say earmuffs. You can say whatever you want now.
But no, going back to the topic at hand, no, I'm not going to watch it live. But I get why some people, you know, would, you know, think it's an inconvenient time. It is for us, but we also got to take into effect that they have to do wherever they're doing the show from, they have to do it at a time that's convenient for the people there. And that's why, like, it doesn't bother me that they do stuff like this, because I mean, we were watching, you know, the shows from Saudi Arabia that would start at like 10, you know, 9, 10 in the morning, whatever, which is a little bit more reasonable for us and stuff. But I get it.
That's not a fucking 4 or 5 o'clock. That 10 is at least like, hey,
but
I could wake up at a normal fucking time and watch the show.
But it's also, like what Joey K said in his point. You're the person, or, you know, the mark. Are there marks out there that get up to say, you know, to watch Wrestle Kingdom at like, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning or whenever it starts because of the time zone change? Like, I looked it up while you started bringing up the topic. Where the show is from, which is in Perth, Australia, they're 14 hours, excuse me, ahead of my time zone, which would mean 13 hours ahead of your zone. So that's basically, they're a half day ahead of us already. So by the time we get up, they're actually getting ready to have dinner. They're getting ready for, you know, to go to bed and stuff. So it's just, it's like that movie, you know, it's a mad, mad, mad world and stuff, but I get why they do it. Thankfully they don't do it often, so this doesn't have to become a common occurrence every so often. Once in a while, I mean, I know we got the shows coming up in France. We got the show coming up in Germany and stuff, but I don't think the time zone changes as drastic as this one is. So that's probably going to be less of an issue. But you know what? It's not often that, you know, countries like Australia get a show like this. Let them have it.
You know what? I'm gonna soften my stance a little bit, because like Joey said, there's guys like me that will wake up and watch the Wrestle Kingdoms at the ungodly hour of like 1 a.m. or stay up.
He didn't say guys like you. He said marks like you.
Thank you. That will try to stay up for this show and, you know, power through it, maybe take a nap and get up. But it's, to me, the reason you do that is because, like I said, it's a Wrestle Kingdom. That's the big show. That's the marquee show. I'm not doing that for a regular fucking, you know, New Japan show, unless it's a good one from Korakuen Hall. That's the only one. I'm not doing it for everybody. I'm just, you know, just the fucking marquee show. Now, like I said, this one, I don't feel like it's a big enough deal. Yes, it's the last stop on the road to WrestleMania. But, I mean, fuck, it's pretty predictable. I mean, swerve me, I guess. Do something that I'm not expecting to see this weekend. But there's no way that I'm going to have to wake up at fucking 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm probably going to be shutting it down at 5 o'clock in the morning when this thing's about to kick off. So, yeah, there's no way in hell I'm going to watch this live. But, all right, let's transition. We talked about the road to WrestleMania just now, ladies and gentlemen. We know that WrestleMania and that road to it stops at Philadelphia, Joey K's lovely hometown of Philly. You know, there's been some rumors going around that they're looking for Philly/heroes/celebrities to kind of start doing some things like they used to with the old manias, when they had, you know, the guys come over and do the commercials, or they did some of the promo works. Joey, let's have you start this one off, dude. Who is that Philly standout, this person that's like the heart and soul of that city that you're wanting to see do something for Mania?
Oh, that's a fucking easy one for me. The old school hero himself, Steve Corino, baby.
Ooh.
The one and only.
Okay.
The GOAT. I mean, who else is there?
He's still coaching down in NXT, right?
I think so, actually. I think so. You know, it's tough because so many of, like, you know, you think of early ROH, you think of obviously ECW, you know, CZW, but so many of the bigger names are working in other companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're obviously not going to see Taz. We're not going to see Jerry Lynn. We're not going to see Rob Van Dam. I mean, what Sabu's last TV appearance was on AEW, right? He did that thing with Jericho, right?
Yeah,
wasn't that
yes?
It?
Yeah.
So he's probably not going to get touched for this. I would say there's a chance we see like Tommy Dreamer because of the TNA relationship, but who knows what that TNA relationship is anymore after they fucking kick Scott D'Amore out. I could say, would they take a chance and bring out like the Sandman?
He is sober now.
Yeah, I know, but like it's
it's not the same.
How well known is the Sandman? Sandman's not as well known as a Taz or Rob Van Dam or even a Dreamer for that. I mean, you really got like Sandman, Raven, Shane Douglas, you know, but everyone else that's really kind of synonymous with these, you know, ECW or early days of Ring of Honor, they're all kind of like in a spot where they can't really do it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's I took this a different route because you're going with wrestlers in the Philly area. I'm saying the best thing that could probably be done is a fucking Rocky Balboa training montage with Cody Rhodes. I'm talking about you get Cody running up the stairs and you hear fucking, you got to finish your story, Cody. You know, some fucking real horrible Stallone there. He's talking about you got to go up them stairs and finish that story. Let me be fucking Eye of the Tiger in the background, Stallone and Cody Rhodes. That's all Americana, baby.
I'm going to take yours a little one step further. Don't just do a Stallone-like voice. They got the money. Bring Stallone in. He's done stuff with them in the past. I mean, he's got the, you know, the appearance, you know, with Rocky III with Hulk Hogan. I believe he inducted Hulk Hogan into the WWE Hall of Fame. Why not pay the money and get him in? I think that would be great. Or you know what? If they're trying to get someone who's more current in the world of acting, get Michael B. Jordan, you know, the guy who played Creed, and have him come, you know, do something.
But I don't know, man. I don't know if Creed's son, Apollo, is Philly. Like, I get Rocky's Philly. Rocky's always Philly.
Well, you can't get Mickey or Paulie because they're both, you know, they're both dead.
That was dark.
Poor Jesus Paulie. Christ, guy.
Like, yeah, but you know what? But you know what, though?
Dark, real fucking fast.
But you're talking about Paulie, though. To me, and I'm watching all these movies as many times, I love the Rocky movies and stuff. Paulie kind of screwed Rocky over big time multiple times.
Paulie was your stereotypical brother-in-law.
Yeah, he was a piece of shit brother-in-law. That was just like an absolute fucking hanger on because of his sister. He was just an absolute shitbag.
Yep.
Yeah.
He basically tried to just give Funny her away in the first though. Movie. Yeah.
Funny as fuck. Just an absolute dickhead and a menace to society. But he fucked Rocky over so hard.
Yep.
But he did give him the meat locker to practice boxing. And I mean, that's little something he did good, Paulie. But,
okay, Meat Locker versus screwing him out of millions of dollars. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Paulie's a dick. Especially in the last fight. He's like, hey, Rock, I got a chance to make some money off of this. You all right with that? Rocky's like, oh, I guess. I don't give a fuck.
But I like the idea, though, of, you know, Stallone. I think that would be awesome because that, you know, Rocky, you know, for a city to embrace a character like they did with Rocky Balboa, who's, it's not like he's a real person. I mean, for God's sakes, they got a statue of him, you know, in the city. And it's and
he's goes, in the Boxing Hall of Fame.
Go fuck yourself, dude. There's a statue Perry outside of the fucking outside of Wrigley, and he wasn't a real fucking person either. So you better calm down with your bullshit.
First off, let me finish. Secondly, Harry Carey was a real person.
The fuck he was. That was a cartoon character.
Weirdo. But no, I just thought it just spoke to it. Just having that statue just speaks to the volumes of how inspirational and how, you know, how powerful that character is to that city. I mean, to think of just, it's a movie character that means that much. I think it's great, and it just speaks to the volumes of how great the Rocky movies were.
Let me say this. If they don't want to do Stallone and they wanted to, they want to opt for somebody else in Philadelphia, I mean, there's a Philadelphia lifer that I think can also give like a pretty cool little moment with Cody, which I don't know why everything I'm thinking right now is based around Cody and finishing the story. Maybe because that's, you know, the main push this year. Finish that story. But give me Bryce Harper, dude. Bryce Harper coming out in like fucking Mr. USA headband, fucking Philadelphia brotherly love bullshit. Look,
if we're just going to talk celebrities, we can have a whole lot of celebrities. Obviously, there's probably going to be players from the Eagles there or, you know.
Jalen Hurts.
Phillies are tough because.
Oh, God, I want Jason Kelce in a mask again.
Yeah, I mean, we might get a Kelce sighting. You know, there's a lot of like celebrity wise to go. I mean, I'm looking at wrestlers going. They could bring in some cool nostalgia stuff, but it's going to be real hard to pull off. But celebrity wise, shit. I doubt the Phillies are on. I haven't looked at their schedule. I doubt they're not busy that weekend, but.
Yeah. Now I want to see fucking Kelce, dude. I want to see Jason Kelce out there shirtless with a mask on like he was at the fucking Super Bowl party.
Dude, I want all of it, beard chugging, fucking luchador mask, no shirt on, not giving a fuck, like just rolling out there at the link in his fucking flip-flops and shit. I want 100% fucking full Philly trash Jason Kelce at WrestleMania. I'll be fucking happy.
So let's go with this real quick, because I know you're a Philly guy, born and bred, Philly fan, all that, you know, as Philadelphia as you can get. You got you over there. I'm going to the brotherly love, the state of brotherly love for this game, slash show, slash everything that I can fit in this weekend that I'm there. How bad would it be for me if I show up in a Cowboys t-shirt or hoodie?
Dude, I would not do it. It really, really wouldn't.
Yeah.
They fucking booed Santa Claus. What do you think they do to you?
I'm planning on showing up in that stadium with the Cowboys hoodie.
Dude, everybody talks about that. Everybody talks about the fucking, oh, they threw snowballs at Santa. That's nothing. Who gives a fuck about that? Dude, what I've seen them do to other, like, other fans of other teams, particularly NFC East rivals, what I've seen them do to their own mascot. They lit the other Eagles mascot on fire.
Jesus Christ.
Bird Brain, who was before Swoop, but when was Bird Brain? I can't remember his years. But either way, Bird Brain got lit on fucking fire. I met the man, and he was like, he showed his fucking suit that had a burn hole in the arm. Like, it's fucked up. Yeah, so Swoop's been around for a little while now, but fucking Bird Brain, dude, he wasn't allowed. He wasn't allowed in certain areas because people tried to throw him off the fucking. Off over the fucking railing. Like, he had to hang on until security got him and saved his life. Do understand, they do not fuck around. Santa Claus got off easy with snowballs. Homeboy got lit on fire by actual Eagles fans. The Eagles fans lit their own mascot on fire. Yeah. So when you say, oh, it'd be funny if I wear a Cowboys jersey there, no, it won't. Because I'm not picking your big unconscious ass up off the ground. I'm be like, yo, fuck it. He had it coming. Like,
he had to do it. Just leave him there.
Yeah.
He tried warning you.
Fuck.
Dude, you'll have a fucking hobo piss on your unconscious body. And you fucking get your pockets run real quick. You're done. It's not even. It's. Ugh. Don't do it.
Jeez. Don't do it. Yeah, no. Sounds like a don't do it kind of moment.
Fuck, man.
Fucking A. Let me pivot real quick here since we're still on Philly in the Mania time frame. It's GCW hasn't announced any of their shows like fully yet, any of the cards for the shows they're doing, but they did announce that during the weekend they're going to induct the Briscoes into the GCW Hall of Fame. Now, I don't know what night's going to be because they just announced that they were going to do it. I really want to try to go to that, dude. And then I want to go to the old fucking ECW arena, even though I know it's not, you know, what it used to be.
Yeah, it's not the old. It's much different now.
Damn. All right, gentlemen, let's get off of Mania right now. Let's shift it a little bit to AEW, which, shooters out there, I've heard you. We've heard you. Yes, we've shitted on AEW a fair amount. It's probably not going to stop tonight. But maybe the tides are going to change for AEW. They have just brought in Jennifer, I believe it's Pepperman. She is now the Vice President of Content Development. What that means, I have no idea. Whatever Tony Khan lets her do. But she is a former WWE senior writer and producer. She is the one who had very, very close relationships with a big-time signing coming to AEW, allegedly, Sasha Banks. Now they're bringing her in to kind of help ride the ship for AEW. Hopefully, like I said, Tony Khan lets her work. But what do you guys think about the hiring here for AEW?
If fans think that this is going to solve all their problems, they're a bunch of, to quote Red Foreman, dumbasses, because they've got a lot more that needs to be fixed other than just hiring someone who's, what'd you say, Vice President of Content Development?
That's what she's called, yeah.
You know, and stuff. I mean, it's a step, hopefully, in the right direction, but this does not solve all of their problems, because they have way more things to worry about than just that.
Yeah. Joey?
I mean, how many ways are you going to fuck this pig? I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, Tony Khan's not going to give up fucking that much control. It's going to be a power struggle. You know, the guy, talk about fan booking. He fan books for himself. You know, it sucks, but it is what it is. I don't know. I don't see this as a move that's going to change anything. You still have the inmates running the asylum. So what does this change, right? I don't give a damn shit, to be honest with you.
And my fear is, right, just because of her ties to Monet, Mercedes, Sasha Banks, however you want to call her, I feel like she's going to just kind of be focused on her. That could be to the detriment of everything else that they've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not only like the women's division is teetering on just god awful because we're only seeing the same three women every week. If it's not right now, Deonna Purrazzo, Toni Storm, or Sky Blue, outside of them, you're not seeing any of the other women.
Has anyone seen Britt Baker?
Yeah, I think they actually did say she was injured or whatever, and she's close to coming back. But that one kind of went on the hush-hush. No one knew anything about it, and her complaining on Twitter kind of gave the wrong, you know, impression. But she's not the only one, right? Chris Statlander came back. She hasn't been used. Ruby Soho has been used for background with this dude. What's his name? Angelo, whatever the fuck.
Angelo Parker.
Yeah, and a whole dating storyline, which is stupid as shit.
Thunder Rosa just came back, and she seems to be MIA again.
Gone again, because they don't know what to do with her. I mean, they have ladies on this roster that if they were actually allowed to work and they booked them out a little bit, they could probably do something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think them bringing in this lady who is just known to be, you know, close personal friends with Sasha Banks / Monet, it's going to feel like what we have now with Tony Khan. It's whenever he has an idea for somebody, that's the only thing that's going to get pushed. So like what we have, Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo, that's the flavor of the month right now. That's the feud of the month. So we're going to really just hammer that home. We're going to have Deonna in a meanless match. We're going to have Tony Storm do a meanless match just so they can have a, you know, momentary standoff where it pushes to their big match, but it's nobody else is getting any work. Like, they're bringing in either jobbers or who came in, what's her name that wrestled Deonna this weekend? Madison Rain.
Yeah, Madison Rain.
And number one, she's a fucking trooper because Madison Rain took a fucking spike to the head like a motherfucker. Like, they immediately finished that match afterwards. But these are people who aren't on TV often. Like, why are you not building everybody else up, putting anybody? If you're going to have, like, people on the show, I know you don't want to kind of bury your talent, but they're not even using anybody that could have used that shine. Because, I mean, they just fully signed Queen Amanita or whatever her name
is. Amanita, yeah.
Amanada, whatever, tomato, tomato. She hasn't been used. They have, heck, Sky Blue could have gone in there for a loss because, I mean, hell, she's not doing anything anyway.
Julia Hart's hurt right now, which is why she hasn't been wrestling.
Julia's hurt. But that's the thing is what's going to happen when these people aren't hurt and we have somebody that's just focusing on one person. It's going to feel like we're just being force-fed Sasha Banks or Monet, whatever you want to say. You know, we're being force-fed her. Mm-hmm. And if history has told us anything, man, wrestling fans hate being force-fed. I mean, it doesn't work. We have to organically like you or we're not going to accept it. And I think that's what we're going to run into whenever she starts helping with the booking decisions with the women's area. So we'll see, man.
One thing I wanted to add on to this, we talked about how it seems like how poorly booked the women's division is in AEW, but it seems like I haven't watched in a while. I know Joey Kaye, I don't believe, is really following them. And so, but look at what Tony Khan is doing with the Ring of Honor women's division. It seems like he's putting way more stock into the women's division for Ring of Honor than of AEW, because I mean, they've got a tournament going on right now to crown an inaugural Ring of Honor women's television champion. And from what I've heard, the matches have actually been quite competitive.
Yeah, I wouldn't go from Ring of Honor to AEW if I was a woman talent. Because right now, they're holding it down, dude. And I mean, it's not even that they have superior talent in the ROH
it's brand. It's just they're being used.
They're letting them cook because that's, you know, your warm-ups for people who get to the shows early, people who stay late, they get the ROH tapings. And they're getting that time, and they're not scrubs, dude. Billy Starks is fucking great. Trish Adora is great.
Athena. And fucking
Athena's a badass.
She's still the women's champion. She is. She's like, I think, what's she going on, like a year and a half as a Ring of Honor women's champion?
I meant she should be AEW women's champion.
Yes, I agree with you there.
But yeah, Jody, have you watched any of the ROH lately? I know you kind of have a love hate with them now.
I haven't.
Loves to hate, hates to love.
It's hard. It's hard to watch. It's really hard to watch. It's not Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
I've been campaigning this for a long fucking time now. It's just not the same. But hey, it's fucking mid card heaven. I'll tell you that.
AEW's doing it wrong. They have their perceived top guys that get all the time on Dynamite, and then all the mid-card lives on ROH or Elevation or Collision.
No, Rampage. Rampage.
Rampage. Rampage.
Collision, I would say not so much. Collision's pretty solid next to Dynamite. Collision's weird because I feel like that's where, like, all the fucking Dynamite feuds go to have, like, six-man tag matches. It's the home of let's combine two feuds or three feuds together and make a big fucking multi-man match. Like, why?
Yeah.
And then we're back to Dynamite on Wednesday and it's all the singular shit. Except for what this week? They had that fucking six-man. It's just, what? Did that make any sense to anybody?
It's the land of the six-man. They have to fill the hours, man. That's, you know, that's one way to do it.
Okay. Let's just talk fucking pure stupidity for a second. so you have Samoa Joe, your AEW champion, feuding with both, and you have Hangman and Swerve feuding with each other to get to Samoa Joe. So they're all kind of three feuding, but really it's just Hangman and Swerve in the longest fucking double turn of history. And you put Samoa Joe and Swerve on the same mixed or the three man tag.
Yeah, they were part of the same team.
And then just drop fucking Brian Cage in there for no fucking reason. RVD. I mean, I guess because Swerve still technically has a group, even though he's being presented as the face. I'm just so confused by it. Like, I mean, for a story, it makes absolute no fucking sense. Other than I feel like Tony Khan must have given the world's worst blowjob to Hangman Page, and he's really trying to make up for it.
Dude, this was my thing, because exactly like you said, I was like, hold on, isn't Brian Cage part of Mogul Empire?
Mogul Embassy, yeah.
Yeah, like how is he going to go against Swerve, who's kind of like the head of the Mogul Embassy?
They didn't go against each other. They were on the same team.
No, they were on the same
team. Oh, they were on the same team.
Yeah. But it just feels like kind of an afterthought, because they got Swerve every time he's out there, the fucking crowd's cheering him. He's basically a babyface at this point. But then you still have the Mogul Embassy, who is like this fucking heel faction.
Yeah.
So the top part of your heel faction is now a babyface, because you want the other guy who floundered as a babyface as the champ and for basically a long time, you want him to be a heel?
Don't even get me started on the faces and heels there, because fuck, 90% of that roster, I don't know who's a babyface and who's a heel. Case in point, the Blackpool Combat Club.
Oh, they're feels. They're face heels.
Yeah. Or your new mega group, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. Now it's real stupid, because you put a fucking heel trio and a babyface trio together. What the fuck?
And then while doing so, you really fucked over Jay White.
Really fucked over the Acclaim, because they were super hot. And now where are they? What are the Acclaim doing?
They're the trio's champs.
They're scissoring.
But they have one of the 84 different titles that AEW carries to every show.
I mean, honestly, those trio champs are either going to be the Acclaimed, House of Black, who I think might be falling apart, or the Bang Bang Club. But I mean, there's no other trios to really stick to justify those belts.
AEW has become like they are the fucking definition of the participation award. Everybody, oh, you did good. We're just going to make a new title for you.
At least you tried.
I mean, yeah, it's terrible. I mean, they got a world champ. They have a mid-card. They have another mid-card title. Now they have they have so many mid-card titles. It's fucking ridiculous.
They have a mid-card title. That's the working man's title. Yeah.
They got titles that haven't even been on TV in God knows how long.
It's very true. I haven't seen Eddie Kingston in a minute after winning the crown or whatever the shit.
Yeah. So where's that one at? I mean,
ROH.
Then you put, and not to mention, you put your top mid-card title on a guy who really doesn't fucking work that much outside of big events. You know, yeah.
Is the TNT title
Adam Copeland? What's that?
Is the TNT title the top mid Carter?
Well, it has been since, because it was the first one.
Yeah, I mean,
All Atlantic is probably the real mid card title, to be honest. That's the title on every week.
Yeah, every week.
They're literally doing a storyline about how beat up Orange is from defending that title so goddamn much. Yeah, that tells you what the real fucking workhorse title is, huh?
The dude they listened it out. The dude was like at Ref Pro in a 7-man, and he was doing this, and he just got done doing a Texas Death Match, and now he's gonna fucking wrestle this guy in an arm behind my back match. You know, it's fucked up, dude.
Yep. Yeah, and then there's fucking Christian Cage coming out.
Oh my god!
Like, hey, here's your mom's address, and I heard your dad's dead. Like, guy, let's pump the fucking brakes on that.
That you dude's know? Fucking kryptonite is an alive dad. That's if your dad's alive, he won't fuck with you.
Yeah. How bad do you feel for Adam Copeland at this point? He leaves WWE.
Yeah.
They don't fucking resign him. They don't do a deal together. He fucking leaves, goes to AEW. Everybody's like, he's in AEW. Oh my god. He's literally had one fucking feud and a handful of terrible matches.
And he took a concerto.
Yeah, and now he's got a couple months off because of it. Because they got nothing else to do with him. Instead of like, oh wow, Tony Khan signed Adam Copeland, so now you can have like, okay. We can have all these dream matches. Fill in every fucking top star in AEW.
Yeah.
You know, Moxley, Omega. You know, you want to do Jericho again. That's cool. You got a little nostalgia stuff there. You know, whatever. Like, but you put him with fucking Christian, the most obvious thing. Right off the bat. He doesn't really win the title. I mean, he does and then drops it 30 seconds later because of the bullshit booking.
Yeah.
But, like, and here he is. He can't feud with any other top guy. They keep him stacked with Christian Cage, and now he's out for a while.
Yeah.
And you're telling me, and this is why you're telling me to get excited for Will Ospreay. You're telling me to get excited for Mercedes Moné. For what? they're a fucking one night entrance and one night highlight, and that's that.
Well, like, it's kind of like what you talked about. I think it was last week with, you know, AEW having arguably like the top four talents in the world. You mentioned, I think it was Omega, Ospreay, you know,
Daniel Bryan, and potentially Okada.
Right, mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, it's just it kind of goes back to that. I mean, what's the point of getting these talents other than, you know, a big giant, you know, fuck you, WWE, we signed them, you know, the Nelson, insert the Nelson Munch, haha, and stuff, you know, but like, what's the point, it seems like, other than to just kind of say, fuck you, WWE, we signed this person.
And the sad thing is, they don't even have a viable fucking video game to put all these fucking likenesses on. Because their video game sucks so much ass. But if you would have told me that I could have had a Will Ospreay, a Kenny Omega, fucking Daniel Bryan, Adam Copeland, all these guys on the video game, I'd have been fucking stoked. But their game sucks.
Yeah, it's a shame. Now, it's a shame because you and I, we're the gamers here. I know Joey K and, you know, Silver Wolf aren't really much into gamers and stuff. And I know you and I spent a lot of time talking, like, when WWE 2K23 came out. Now, imagine if we had all of those guys on that game. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not only was WWE 2K23 really good, and I can't wait for WWE 2K24 to come out in a couple weeks and stuff, but just, man, just...
It would have looked great. It would have given you what you want in a wrestling game with these guys that you've had to create yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were actually in the game, you know, that's what you want. You want, you know, to be able to use them. But they're going to AEW, and AEW sucks right now in the game department. I know they're trying. I guess they went for a concept which on paper we were like, yeah, No Mercy ruled. And when we got it, we're like, oh, this is dog shit. But
you talk about that. I don't know. Well, you weren't at StarCast this past year, but one of the talents I spent a lot of time talking to over that weekend was the Blue Meanie, and really nice guy, one of the coolest guys out there and stuff. And he's part of this new video game that's being put out by, you know, the companies, like much like I guess what AEW is touting Fight Forever to be done by. But I've seen video of this game. It's called Ultra Pro Wrestling. It's got a lot of like fictional characters, but they've signed, like, they've got a lot of legends signed to, like, you know, deals to appear in this game. and stuff. And if you go, I can't think of any, a lot of the names off the top of my head, but if you go online and look, it's a pretty incredible list. To me, watching the video and what I've seen of that, that feels more like No Mercy and, you know, WCW, NWO Revenge than this AEW Fight Forever game is and stuff. But just like you said, man, just imagine if they had all these talents that could be on a WWE game, because WWE games are fucking awesome right now.
All right, rapid fire question. What's the worst wrestling video game of all time?
Fucking Fight Forever.
I'm gonna go WrestleMania for the original Nintendo.
Oh,
no love. Legends of Wrestling on PlayStation 2.
Oh, whoa! That's a good one. That's a really good one.
That game sucked such fucking Guantanamo dick. It's ridiculous.
Cock meat sandwich.
100%.
Basically. Oh shit. Okay, game, real quick.
The gameplay was worst of all time.
That was wasn't that the one? Didn't they have some legends that were actually pretty decent, but the gameplay just sucked ass? Like, I think Eddie was in there.
100%. Yeah.
The first two, I think they did three of them. The third one was probably the best of the three, but that's like just, you know, I don't know, just saying that this is the nicest looking shit I just took.
Well, Dennis, here we go. Your Ultra Pro Wrestling, as of right now, has Too Cold Scorpio, Al Snow, Arn Anderson, The Blue Meanie, Adam Bomb and Wraith, but Brian Clark. Just, I guess, you have both of those attires for Brian Clark. Brother Devon, Buff Bagwell, Bull Nakano, Chris Candido, Crowbar, Demolition, which is Axe and Smash, Dynamite Kid, Francine, Gangrel, Glacier, Hacksaw Jim Duggan Ho, Hayabusa, Jake the Snake Roberts, Canyon with Mortis attire, Crusher Khrushchev, Luis Piccoli, the Mass Superstar, Matt Cardona, Nova, Paul Orndorff, the Powers of Pain, which is Warlord and the Barbarian, the Sandman, Tito Santana, and Warhorse rules ass.
Dude, I'm anxious to check out that game, but I'm going to be cautiously optimistic just based on how bad Fight Forever was.
Fight Forever burned me so bad. I was so excited, and when I wasted an hour playing it, I was like, I've wasted money.
I felt the same way.
Well, to something that's probably not going to disappoint us, we are on the road to revolution for AEW fans. This is going to be Sting's last hoorah. And last night, fucking A, dude, Sting dropped, which was probably the promo of his fucking career. Talk about it, Dennis.
So I think one of the reasons why you and I both seem to think that this promo is the best of his career is because you think about all the promos Sting has done over the course of his, you know, almost 40 years in the business. And I mean, he's had some pretty memorable ones, you know, just back in the days, you know, when he's fighting the Horsemen, you know, one of the stuff that he did when he was transitioning from Surfer Sting to Crow Sting, you know, on with the onset of the NWO.
Introducing the Shockmaster.
Ah, yes. So let's not forget that epic moment. But it's just, I think the reason why this promo hit me so as much as it did was because it was probably one of, if not the most realistic promos he's ever cut. I mean, he talks about, you know, in all the years I've been in this business and all the guys that I've ever faced, nobody's ever attacked my sons, which I actually believe is inaccurate because I believe Kurt Angle did something to one of his kids back in the days of TNA. But just that to...
You can't stop Perk Angle. Perk Angle!
You know, and that, but just... I mean, he's speaking as a father who's out to get the guys that harmed his boys. I mean, that's one. I mean, all of us here have kids, and we would probably have the same type of reaction to someone attacking our kids or harming our kids as Sting had with the Young Bucks. The other thing he mentioned, he was talking about the his dad passing away about a week earlier, and just, I... Again, I listened to Busted Open. And then I was listening to it today on the way in, or I can't remember if it was on the way in or on the way home when I was watching the replay. And I think it was Mark Henry was talking about how close Sting's dad, who, you know, was obviously one of his biggest supporters throughout the years. I mean, it's his dad, was like so close to see being able to see, you know, his son wrap up a Hall of Fame career. And just unfortunately, you know, Father Time, you know, with, you know, continuing his undefeated streak. And it was just, he spoke, and it's just, I don't know, but I feel like, you know, Sting said, you know, I'm going to bring everything I have left in the tank. Like, and he's admitted he doesn't have much. I mean, this is it. This is potentially it for him. And, but man, it was just the realism. It's just because, again, he spoke, I felt like he was speaking more as Steve Borden, the father, versus than compared to Sting, the wrestler. And I think that's why I think you and a lot of people that I've heard takes on this promo from are holding it in such as high regard as they seem to be doing.
Right. I think you hit it on the head with one thing, man. He seems like he's going to go out there at Revolution. He's going to put on a show. He's going to give everything he has. He's literally going to leave whatever piece of Sting that he has left in that ring. Mm-hmm. And not to throw it back to the Rocky from earlier, but it's like in Rocky Balboa where, you know, Rocky tells Paulie there's just some stuff in the basement that I got to let out there. You know, I still got a little bit of that beast in the basement. I think what hit was, you know, Sting kind of letting everybody know, you touch my family and this is my last rodeo and I'm going to let out everything I got. That little mm-hmm. beast in the basement's coming out. And I don't know, man. It made me excited for the show. Not that I wasn't already excited for his last match, but it kind of made me feel like Sting has already done some really crazy shit in AEW. Mm. Some shit that he probably shouldn't have been doing.
Yep.
But this is this man's last match. I feel like he's going to go for it. Something big is going to happen. Kind of got me feeling that maybe they could win this. You know, I was kind of team Young Bucks winning just because what do you do if the tag team champions retain and Sting retires? But I kind of feel like there is now a sliver of chance that they actually win. And because, you know, Sting's going to do something crazy. So I'm here for it. I want to see it. I'm excited. And what are we, like, a few weeks away now? What was it, 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
A week from this Sunday. It's about a week from and a half.
Sunday.
So while we were on the show here, I was just on mute and watching it. And it was a good promo. Solid. Real good. I like it. You know, I am still somebody who enjoys those final promos of guys leaving. In the last matches, so I'll say this: it's still a solid number two. At most, it's a solid number two to William Regal. Still the best final match promo to me. Still can't top that one. As good as this one was, still can't top it.
God, William Regal, dude, he was a beast. He never. I don't think he's ever gonna fully get his roses, man.
Nope, that is 100% true.
And not just as a wrestler, but every like the mind he has for the business, everything he's done. I don't think he'll get his roses all the way yet. It's going to take some time for people to be like, oh, yeah, that was William. You know what I'm saying? It's going to take a minute.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we are close to the top of the hour. Is there anything that you want to throw out there real quick, Joey?
No.
Jovan?
I am going to do a small. And when I say small, I mean small. Final thought. And this is coming from a place of love because we said we weren't going to do final thoughts anymore. But, you know, this one needs to be said. Guys, we do this every week because we love it. We do this every week to not only, you know, entertain you all, not only to entertain ourselves, to pop ourselves because we're marked for each other, but we do this as a way to stay connected to each other, which is awesome. It gives us a sense of brotherhood, a sense of kinship, and it gives us at least an hour of every week where we can feel like we're part of something bigger than ourselves. With that being stated, man, if you're ever in a spot to where you do not have that ear to listen to, you have the feeling that, you know, you're all alone, reach out to one of us. We talk wrestling. We talk just random shit. If you ever need it, you know, mental health is a big, big thing to, you know, be mindful of. If you're ever needing an ear and you don't want it to be somebody you know, you don't want it to be any family members, reach out. All of our information is always on our show descriptions. Leave a message on our TikToks. Follow our TikTok. Please follow our TikTok. Join our page. We're active there. Just leave a message on the page. You know, you got a lot of people there that'll shoot shit on wrestling like we do. Just as a way to let you know that you're never really alone. If you seek anybody out there, anybody on the show, we'll be more than glad to talk with you. Just, you know, you're never alone out there. So like I said, mental health is real important. If you ever need it, you got us and a whole group of people that just love to talk wrestling. So that's my little bit. Dennis, go ahead.
And shooters out there, apologies in advance if I get a little emotional here, you know, tears and stuff, but, sorry guys, I just gotta compose myself here, but, we always talk about wanting to take this show to the levels that we feel, the three of us and Silver Wolf as well, feel like that this show can reach. So I just got a little bit of a statement that I want to read. And for the record, this was something that it's been talked about for a while and everything. It's something that we've discussed, the four of us have discussed privately and everything, but I'm just going to get right into it. Excuse me. So sometimes the best decisions are the hardest ones to make. And before I elaborate, I want to go back in time. Back on August 25th of 2021, Jovan, Joey K, and I launched episode zero of this show. And it's very similar to when TV shows would release a pilot episode, testing the waters to see what could work. Little did any of us know that 2.5 years later, we would have finished up our 124th episode, brought on a fourth person full-time, have done three live episodes, two of which have been from Copeland's Bar and Grill in lovely Manteno, Illinois. Shout out to Josh Glenn. And one from an Airbnb where the only time all four of us have been together. And we've really bonded not only as a show, but as friends and brothers. We are always trying to find a way to get this show to the next level because we truly feel as if we have something special. Trying to make connections with those that can help get us there is where we are at now. And after hearing some feedback, the four of us have agreed that some changes are going to be made in order to get to that next level. The first change is going to be that starting next week, Shooting Shit will be hosted by Joe, Jovan, and Sean, meaning that this episode will be my last one as a regular on-screen host. I'm not going away completely, as I will be going behind the scenes and focusing on and producing the show, which some of you may know, and this is a little sidebar from the statement, you guys obviously know, but a lot of shooters may not out there may not know that in addition to what I do on screen, there's a lot that I do off screen. And this decision is allowing me to completely focus on the off screen stuff to help us get to where we want to be. So going back to the statement, like I mentioned before, I'm not going away completely as I will be going behind the scenes and producing the show. So you can say goodbye to the 5-star trivia machine and hello to the 5-star producing machine. whenever we do our live shows from Copeland's, I will be on those shows. I am also pleased to announce that starting next week, I will be launching a new show called Five Star Takes exclusively on the Shoot and Shit Facebook page. This show is only going to be a few minutes long and will consist of me giving my takes on the topics that the boys discuss. I'm doing this in the hopes that it creates great conversation amongst the shooters and also provides an avenue to help grow Shoot and Shit to where we all think it could be. Thank you to my friends, my family, and the shooters. And most importantly, thank you to Jovan, to Joe, and to Sean. I love you guys.
Love you too, man.
Love you too, man.
And I know Silver Wolf unfortunately couldn't be here tonight. He's kind enough to leave us a message that we're going to play right now. And then after that, we're going to go right to the post-show credits. But, guys, it's been a ride. But you know what? It's time to kick it up a notch. Let's keep kicking ass.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Big changes coming. Big changes happening. A lot of cool stuff. A lot of cool new things. All four of us are still part of the show. Still rocking and rolling.
All right. Let's get to those comments from Silver Wolf and then the end of the show.
Hey, fellas, this is the old Silver Wolf. Sorry I couldn't be there tonight. Just some things came up. You know, the only consistent thing in life, I guess, is change. So dealing with some personal stuff that I got to get taken care of. You know, nothing major, nothing crazy, you know. So no worries on my end. I do feel bad that I can't be there tonight because of, you know, it being DDJ's last show with us. And I just wanted to make sure that I got on here and you know, let him know just how much he means to me. When I first started talking to Dennis on Facebook years ago, I wasn't exactly in the best place in life. I was struggling with addiction, not doing well in life, you know, as far as like living, working, any of that. Just basically, you know, surviving and getting by. And Dennis became, you know, Dennis was a friend. Never fails to call and check up on me and make sure I'm okay no matter what's going on or what I'm going through. I've probably seen more wrestling shows with that guy than any other person in my life. So, you know, what we share isn't just wrestling. It's a friendship, a brotherhood. About a year and a half, a little over a year and a half ago, maybe, I was going through some stuff, and for whatever reason, Dennis thought, hey, why don't you come be on the podcast? And so I got to join you guys and you know, get a guest spot and be a part of it. And a year and a half later, and here we are, and the show's growing, and we're making moves, and we're doing things that we want to do. And, you know, DDJ taking this step back away from the camera to go behind the scenes and produce for us and take care of us on that end, you know, is pretty huge. To give up one of the things that I know he enjoys most in life, to go behind the scenes and produce for us and take care of us so we can move the show further down the road. I love you, buddy. You know, you have always been a great friend to me. All jokes aside, I know we go back and forth and we give each other shit, but you know, when the bottom line is like, when it comes down to it, dude, you've always been there for me, and I hope you know that I'll always be there for you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this and giving me the opportunity to, you know, be a part of something that means so much to me. This is a brotherhood. And brothers fight, and we argue, and we talk shit, and we laugh at each other. But the bottom line is that the four of us will always be, you know, shooting shit. We will always carry that flag. We'll be the flag bearers for the show. And Dennis is going to be doing really, really great things for us behind the scenes. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate you and how much I love you. And I'm sorry that I can't be there tonight. I wish I could, but all right, man, I will talk to you guys soon. Love you both. Fuck you, Jovan. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.
Are we clear, guys?
Yep.
Oh, good. Now I can finally say what I want to say to you miserable sons of bitches. Fuck you, Joey K. Fuck you, Jovan. And to Sean, who couldn't be here, especially for this moment. Really, fuck you. I'm out.
God, that guy is an absolute fucking asshole.
Jesus Christ, what did we ever do to him?
Oh my God. Unreal. Fuck this. Let's get out of here.
Legends of the Ring Sting, man. This is a great figure. Old school figure. Looks great. It's Sting! Old school Sting from WCW. Guys, you know us. Three-fourths of the Shooting Shit team. And we're here with a listener just like you guys. This is Jimmy from Super Powers Comics.
My friend of 20, almost 20 years. Yeah. He's known him since you were 12.
If you know people in Chicago, you probably know Dennis because he knows half the town.
Of course.
But shooters, if you need action figures, comics, wrestling memorabilia, we just showed you Sting. Super Powers Comics. We'll put up their QR code so you can get a good look at everything they have coming. Give it a shot, shooters. Get your superpowers on and get your comments from our friend Jimmy, who listens just like you.
Attention wrestling fans and fans of Shooting Shit Podcasts. You can now be one of the cool kids by going to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy the official Shootin' Shit t-shirt. Buy it now and be there at ringside.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shootin' Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.